This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition. You're with Uma and Ezra, and this evening we'll be speaking about current commercial radio landscape in Malaysia. Now, Commercial Radio Malaysia, CRM, was formed in 1994 with a mission to serve, promote and work for the collective interests of the commercial radio operators in Malaysia. Now, joining us in the studio today is Kut Siakar, President of Commercial Radio Malaysia, CRM, to tell us more about the current commercial radio landscape in the country. Welcome to the show, Kut Sia.
Thank you. Very chikap when you talk.
Well, we try. I mean, we're figuring this whole radio thing out. I mean, Uma and I have only been doing this for like
a handful of years,
really.
You're still babies.
Yes. And Kusio, what has your relationship been with radio? I mean, let's you know, go back away from the official titles of it. What's your relationship with radio like?
I first decided that I was going to be in radio when I was 14. After that, it was just visualizing that I would be in radio. By the time I was 19 or 20, I was as a part-timer and never looked back, really.
And what were your first roles, or what were you sort of trying out? Were you trying out sort of different announcing roles? Were you keeping?
Yeah,
did you
go into? Yeah. I mean, from the bottom up, really.
Wow.
From the bottom up.
That's
yeah.
Brilliant.
And I didn't, you know, unplug or plug in cables. I didn't do that. But yeah, I mean, first it started with you know, rehearsing with a round hairbrush in front of the mirror when I was 14.
Oh well.
Listening to Casey Kasem and the American Top 40.
Of course.
Oh, nice. You know, recording onto cassettes. You know, we all know what 2B pencils are best for.
For,
so
exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly, yes.
Dubbing and doing a mixtape was the key thing to any wannabe.
Don't diss it. It takes special skill, especially to splice the tape together.
That's true.
You know?
And then occasionally you do your own little VOs as well for your friends.
I know, birthday parties, then you and school days, canteen days, sports days, you know, like, yeah, you were the bomb. You were like the coolest kid because you had the boom box, you had the cassette mixtapes, which you took 2 weeks to put together.
To put together.
Yeah, man.
It's a great way to woo girls, I tell you.
Mm, well, I wouldn't know. I went to a girls' school, so and that was not my priority.
Aww.
So. And so how has, I mean, you mentioned Casey Kasem. I mean, a lot of us grew up with Casey
Kasem,
right?
We all grew up with Casey Kasem. Yeah. He was around for so long.
Yeah. And
Patrick, for me, actually, when I was a kid, very, very small kid, you know, for me, one of the highlights was, you know, Sundays listening to Patrick Teo. And
oh, yeah.
Keith Watt's Fantastic Facts and Fancies.
Yeah. And Patrick, of course.
And I actually saw the shop one day, just like a few months ago. I was driving somewhere and I'm like, Mr. Keith Watt, are you still around? Because I actually saw the signboard and it said Keith Watt Trading. I was like, you must be Fantastic Facts and Fancies.
You that know? Is brilliant. And yet again, Patrick, we grew up with Patrick.
Yeah.
With
yes.
Ghost stories, with all of that stuff, and with his pranks he used to play. I remember, and also the time when, you know, he would just be the sole angry Chinese man on radio.
And in that time, I guess, you know.
I'm sorry. I've known him since I was 9, FYI. So, you know, so I'm allowed to laugh.
We've only known him a couple of years and we're still laughing. But how has the landscape changed in that respect? Because it used to be about, you know, these great booming voices, these great personalities. Of course, to a certain degree, it still is. But the landscape of the technology has changed so much as well.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I think that's one of the reasons why I continue to remain being in love with radio. That's really where my passion comes from. To me, it's not just a job. I have been in love with radio since I was like, you know, 7, 8, 9. I mean, that's when I got to hear Miles Davis for the first time, Steely Dan, etc., you know, growing up. And if not for radio, where would any of us be, really, you know, where our musical education was concerned, being exposed to music? But yes, I think it's fantastic that commercial radio has always embraced technology and social media as well. And I equate the speed of radio information getting out to be, I wouldn't say challenged, but to be, what's the word? I can't say equalized, to be matched by Twitter.
And you think, I guess, you know, because the speed in which how radio functions, I mean,
yes.
It's almost instant, isn't it?
It is. It's instantaneous. And the difference is between radio and all other platforms is that there's that always that emotional and personal connection.
You know, there was a Nielsen survey, the REM survey, which showed that radio had been increasing in popularity in Malaysia over the last 10 years.
Yes, Nielsen is not the only one that does a radio audience measurement survey in Malaysia. There's also GFK.
Right.
And both of them have shown that, yes.
Which Which for me is both great news, but also a little surprising as well. So, I mean,
why would you be surprised?
Well, I just thought young people would get easily distracted with everything else.
Ah, so it's like this. The story is, you got time or not?
We got time.
Oh, okay, got time.
Right, so
yeah.
The story is, traffic jams are always fantastic news for radio stations.
Absolutely.
Yes. So as much as we don't like certain projects happening, even not far from your office here and your studios over here, we curse. But that's what keeps radio alive as well. And as much as we have streaming services like Deezer and Spotify and now Beats Radio as well, the two key things that people still listen to radio is because one, localization of information, and second, that human touch.
Yeah.
You know, you need that. You resonate with the person who's talking, you know, to you. It's the radio personalities behind the microphones, you know, when they switch the on or the off button, it's because they're connecting with you. They're having a conversation with you. You know, you connect with them. We're not just playlists.
Yeah, you know, it's not just an algorithm curating your music. There is a little bit of an individual.
If it were,
that knows
I would have
like.
Been married to Hal. You know,
pick a less
Open
scary
the port
algorithm,
doors,
yeah,
Hal.
Exactly.
Folks, we're speaking to Kutsia Kahar, president of Commercial Radio Malaysia. We're going to continue talking about all things radio right here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. You're with Uma and Ezra. It's the Evening Edition. In the studio with us is Kutsia Kahar, president of Commercial Radio Malaysia. We'll be speaking about all things radio this evening. And now, of course, what is CRM? What is Commercial Radio Malaysia? What is its role?
Well, it started off actually known as MACRO, M-A-C-R-O, which was the Malaysian Association of Commercial Radio Operators. It had been started by three gentlemen in the 90s because, as you well know, commercial radio didn't make its presence felt before 1994, really. And later it morphed into what it is now, which is Commercial Radio Malaysia. And basically, it's an association that represents commercial radio stations in the country. Because there are a lot of non-governmental radio stations as well. All in all, actually, there are over, and a lot of people are surprised whenever I tell them this, there are actually over 44 radio stations in the country. Mm. But this includes also campus radio.
Right.
And regional radio as well. So they're all operating on the FM bandwidth, of course. But commercial radio stations, I mean, those that exist solely on advertising money, basically, to make ends meet, there are about 23 to 24 of those. 90% of those are members of CRM.
And that growth towards that number of 23 or so, I mean, was it sort of evolving quite steadily from the 90s? Was there a shift? Because I remember growing up, you know, you had sort of talk radio to a certain degree. And then when format radio sort of took over Malaysia in such a big, big way.
When Astro kicked in.
Oh, when Astro kicked in.
That was.
And so just walk through us, I guess, the change in approach and landscape. But what was the ideal? What was the strategy? Was it just the influence of how radio was going on in the world?
Previously, Malaysia had something known as block programming. So if you grew up listening to RTM radio stations, I mean, even from the time when they were known by colour, the English radio station, before it became Trax FM, before it became Radio 4, was actually known as the Blue Network.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Do you remember? Oh
yeah.
My God.
Well, we've just been doing a little bit of history, and like, you know, you had the, I guess, the Malay equivalent, and the English equivalent was the Blue Network, yeah.
Yes, and then the Chinese radio station was known as the Red Network. The Tamil station was known as the Green Network. Right? And then later it changed to Radio 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then later it became, well, the different names like Radio Music and, Trax FM, etc. So they had started off, as was radio everywhere else in the world, really, as block programming, which means you only targeted a certain group of people, a certain demographic, in those block of hours. That you would have. So suddenly you would have storytelling time for kids on Blue Network from like maybe 10 a.m. to 10:30. And then after that, it'll be gardening and you.
Oh.
So, you know, it'll be a very...
I can kind of see the rationale.
In many ways, the BBC still operates in that way.
Yes, they do. And then suddenly at like noon, it'll be like I think it was called the Blue Network Radio... No, Radio House, or no, Drama House, or something like that. Because they used to do things. Actually, that was wonderful for creativity because they used to get people to write in drama scripts. And they would actually, RM Playhouse, thank you, that's what it was called, RM Playhouse, that's what it was called, Radio Malaysia Playhouse. And they would encourage people actually to write in scripts and then they would produce it. And then you got radio credits drama at the end. Yes, and wow, they got actors to come in. Radio Malaysia, the Malay Network did the same thing as well. I used to listen to Sandiwara Radio and I was in total awe. And let me tell you, RTM in those days, I'm not saying that they're not cool now, but they were so cool when
there was
growing up.
A lot of hip programming happening back then.
Yes, they had sci-fi radio dramas, mad professors who used to cut up people. And, you know, even before The Human Centipede came out, the radio version of it was already there. And we're talking, you know, way back then.
Of course, you know, back then, you know, when you were creating content, you couldn't just sort of download a particular soundscape, but you had to sort of recreate the whole thing.
I mean, you know, sounds of footsteps, you would actually have to bang your shoes together to make it sound as though, But it was great because my love for Pantun came from there because they had a program also called Berbalas Pantun. And I thought it was fantastic because every weekend they would have this Juara Pantun, you know, and they would actually do an outside broadcast from like University Malaya.
Right.
And all these different universities, they would like this Jual Beli Pantun thing would be happening back and forth live, unedited. And I thought that was fantastic.
So fast forward then, I guess, all the way to 94, 97.
97 was when Format Radio first started.
And for folks who might not be familiar, Format Radio is...
Format Radio means 24 hours a day, whether you tune in at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m., you get the same sort of offering. So it doesn't veer. And not to say that it doesn't have specialized content in different hours, because we understand radio is a very interactive platform and it reacts also to people's ever-changing lifestyles. So you know in the morning when listeners are driving to work, what state of mind they're in. And in the evening when the energy level's down and they're still in their cars driving home, a different state of mind. And at night, a different state of mind. So the type of music, the type of mood that a station broadcasts or tries to evoke for these listeners is very dependent also with the hours of the day.
I'm just wondering whether that strategy for radio, that's all 24-hour, we're here for you, was it a response to what was happening on other mediums like television, like 24-hour cable news, you know, sort of kicked in with CNN? And was there a response or some sort of adjustment?
Yes, it was similar. These are formatted TV channels. They give you pretty much the same thing. I mean, look at MTV.
Yeah.
Even though they thought they were going to kill radio, but, you know. So, so it's pretty much like that because they understand that radio listeners love consistency. So even though maybe in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even the 80s, it was okay to have block programming, but then people wanted consistency and radio was expected to have that consistency. So hence the formatted station started coming out back in 1997.
And I guess audiences were still sort of coming to terms with all of these changes, I guess, you know, from...
Well, they embraced it. They embraced it. When radio audience measurements were done back then, it was the commercial radio stations that were formatted that just... Their numbers just skyrocketed. And the ones that got hit were unfortunately the stations that had block programming.
And that didn't
because people didn't want that anymore.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation about all things radio with Kutsia Kaha, President of Commercial Radio Malaysia, or CRM. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9. Good evening, you're with Uma and Ezra. In the studio with us is Kutsia Kahar, President of the Commercial Radio Malaysia, or CRM. And we've been speaking about the evolution of radio and, I guess, the history in Malaysia. And we stopped at basically, you know, where format radio came in and all of its virtues. And what was interesting about that time was, because, of course, in Malaysia, your audience is so segmentized by either language or by ethnic groups, and it sort of has a different and weird effect within the entertainment industry.
Yeah, it's not just segmented by the kind of music you like or the kind of talk you like, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And has that been difficult for radio, per se, in terms of engaging a mass critical audience?
We see now that the lines are blurring. You know, previously a radio station, a formatted radio station, would be very specific about its target.
Yeah.
Chinese 15 to 29 or Malay 25 to 39, you know, and that sort of thing that you would tell advertisers because they want to know, well, who are your listeners?
The target?
Yeah, because if we want to advertise, you know, on your station, then we need to know what your demographic is. But now we find actually certain anomalies, which is quite interesting. We find stations that are meant perhaps for older people, like 45 and above, 22-year-olds are listening. So I met such people, young people, recently, and I actually asked this girl. One of them is actually a young lady who even joined, you know, where I work, And I asked her, I'm like, okay, so you're like in your early 20s. So why do you listen to this particular station? She's like, I'm so tired of EDMs. She's right. like, I can't take it. She said, right. it's just a wall of sound.
Yeah.
She said, in the evening when I drive home, that's the last thing I want to listen to. I'm like, okay. I said, you do realize this is like your dad's era of music that this station is playing. She's like, yeah, I don't mind it. At least it's not, you know, but this wall of sound.
These blurring lines, though, I'm assuming it's still an urban-rural divide then. Or have you seen that these blurring lines are across, irrespective of, I guess, class and location?
More class and location, perhaps, rather than rural. Or you can live in a rural area but still be very urban in your outlook.
Right.
Depending on where you work and what your traveling
and what
patterns
you do,
are.
Yeah. And you know, with the entrepreneurial spirit being so strong among younger Malaysians now, this geographical divide doesn't even actually mean anything anymore. They stream whatever stations they want to listen to. You might get a 19-year-old in Kubang Krian who loves jazz listening to.
Yeah.
To Jazz FM, you know, on his smartphone.
Yeah. So, and of course, that landscape will likely change even more over the next couple of years when people will stream directly into their cars, when more and more cars get...
I'm waiting for that to happen, actually, because 10 years ago, there was talk about satellite radio being available for cars here in Malaysia. That fell through with the car makers here, unfortunately. So it was in the pipeline, but it didn't happen. Now there's talk that perhaps DAB, which is digital audio broadcasting, DAB Plus, is going to be brought here to Malaysia as well. But as far as I'm concerned, until you can make every car in Malaysia, available with that, then there's FM radio will always win.
Yeah.
I mean, because I went to a conference recently in Romania. I was invited to speak at a conference called Media 2020. And, of course, the biggest thing at that time was Norway had just announced that they would actually be shutting down FM transmission.
That's right.
And a lot of people thought then, you know, oh, my God, radio's dead. I'm like, no. That's traditional transmission that is dead.
Exactly.
Radio itself is not dead.
Exactly.
It's just the platform
also,
on which it broadcasts.
Also, Norway has like two FM radio stations left.
Five, actually
five.
Close.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
They have like five. And, you know, with DAB stations and all that, they have something like a little less than 20. But they also their population is also only about 5 million.
Correct.
So, and it's geographically, they're not huge, you know, so it's quite easy to ensure that, you know, the cars that are there, there are these little devices that you can then install in your cars and continue to listen to radio there. We can't do that here, especially in Southeast Asia. That's not going to be possible.
So with all of these changes, I mean, the one change that's upon us already, and I'm assuming all commercial radio stations are going to have to exploit this, is this world of podcasts. It's this world of not just live streaming, but also this tape delay, which we call podcasts.
Oh, yeah, but podcasting was around even...
well, it's been around for about 12 to 13 years.
Correct. I was just, yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little after 2000.
Correct.
Yes.
But, of course, it's never been as mainstream as it is now. Is it
because
now?
It wasn't as available. Steve Jobs changed the world.
Yeah.
How people listen to radio, I credit Steve Jobs.
Correct.
Without the smartphone, without the iPhone, actually, you know, radio stations would have not had apps.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
One of the, actually, he came just at the right time because Malaysia, the Malaysian radio industry at that time, was actually seriously considering going on the DAB platform. And then the iPhone came out. And we're like, hang on a second, this is free.
Yeah.
You know, and why would we want... Because then the only way you would be able to listen to DAB stations was to have this little contraption in your home. And at that time, they hadn't yet designed this other contraption that could fit in your pocket.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sorry, but, you know, even though my bag is big, but I'm not going to stuff it with like three or four different devices just to, you know, get different content.
Yeah.
And is that an exciting frontier for, I guess, Malaysian radio stations as well to adapt to? I mean, taking note of all of these different platforms and utilizing them? Or is that something that we're still...
You'd be surprised, but a lot of radio stations in Malaysia have at least 5 to 6 touch points, actually, where people can connect...
Can access them.
And listen to their content and catch their content. Just as how we have catch-up TV, we have catch-up radio as well, because I sincerely believe there are now three different types of radio listeners, really. The ones who listen to you in their cars only, and when they're at home, they go about their business not listening to radio. Especially people like us, right? Because we work in radio.
Yeah.
You go home, the last thing you want to do is listen to radio.
Yeah.
And then there are those people who actually listen, you know, because of maybe the way they commute or something, maybe they don't have access to radio, they listen while they're at work, or they listen at their, you know, at home on their weekends as background while they're going about their business. And then you have the third one who listen to neither much, but they go to the station's website or download their podcast and catch up.
Because they want very specific.
Very specific content, correct. So there are three different types of listeners now for every radio format.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Kutsia Kaha, President of Commercial Radio Malaysia, CRM. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9. It's the evening edition. You're with Uma and Ezra. We've been speaking to Kutsia Kaha, President of Commercial Radio Malaysia. We've been speaking about all things radio. And Kutsia, I just wanted to pick your brain on, I guess, one of the more interesting and, I guess, challenging things about radio is keeping up with things that are happening on your phone, with the internet, and in terms of edgy content that's always sort of being challenged by, I guess, you know, depending on where you're listening to, content that is maybe a bit dry, maybe it's a bit more sanitized depending on where you live.
And so, no, and also competition, right?
Yeah, that's right.
In that we do like our localized content, but of course more and more Malaysians I found are listening to everything from NPR, from, you know, the kind of stuff we find all over the world.
I download Bill Maher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so where are we? Where is Malaysian commercial radio on that scope?
Well, okay. Going back to actually what Ezra was saying earlier, certain things that have to be a bit sanitized, you'd be surprised that the regulators actually allow us to discuss things. And sometimes it's the public actually that gets upset. So years ago, when I was handling a Malay radio station, and it was a really popular Malay radio station with like over 5 million listeners at that time, and we wanted to tackle the subject of abuse of husbands. You know, because everybody was quite aware of abuse of wives, but right. wanted to do husbands as well. And I had about two or three very angry male callers who left extremely nasty messages on my voicemail saying that you should not talk about these things.
Right.
You are emasculating men by you know, saying that they're... How dare you even suggest that there are men in this country who are abused? But we did have bona fide callers who said that, yes, you know, my wife actually abuses me with screwdrivers and pliers and all that, you know. So it does happen, but sometimes people are, they're still in that mindset perhaps that, you know, you shouldn't talk about these things, you don't make me feel uncomfortable. And we've actually had perceptual studies, a lot of radio stations have had perceptual studies, what are the things that you want us to talk about, you know, because on the one hand, like Capital FM, one of the stations that I manage as well, you know, people say, you know, you got to talk about this or about that, and then when we do, and then they're like, that's too heavy, don't tell me about death, destruction and suffering in the morning, I don't want to hear it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you can talk about it, but you have to handle it with kid gloves because you don't want to offend anybody on their commute to work.
Which defeats the purpose of talking about it
kind
a lot of the
because
time.
The whole idea is to provoke action or a reaction so that, you know, it brings about change. You know, but not everybody is prepared for that.
Yeah, and it's not what they used to as well.
And I guess as President of Commercial Radio Malaysia, I mean, what is your read on these 20 to 40 radio stations? I mean, what's the pulse in terms of where they want to evolve? Because, I mean, that's where the challenge is, right? We want to make sure that radio in 2020 is a lot more hip and a lot more cool than 2015.
I love the fact that, you know, previously when I first got involved in format radio back in 97, it was like the radio stations would tell the people, we'll tell you what's good for you.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what the best songs are,
yeah.
and we'll tell you what the topic today is going to be. Now it's the other way around. It's we're listening to what the listeners want, you know, what the listeners are listening to, what they recommend and what they want to talk about. So every radio station, and I'm sure you guys do this too, is like forever checking, you know, what's trending on Twitter, what's trending on Facebook, etc. Because that's
what the kids
pulse.
Are listening to these days.
Exactly. I believe so much kids are. You're just talking about yourself right now, okay, Uma? Yeah.
Just yourself. No. Speak for yourself, my friend. I'm hip. I'm cool.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the pulse now is basically what people are talking about.
Yeah.
And radio stations then take their lead from what the people are talking about.
Because I think that's the thing that struck me as most relevant. I mean, both Ezra and I never came from a radio background. And I think what struck us after doing this for so long is how relevant radio still is and how it continues to be.
Yes.
In spite of the age of the internet and whatever you want to call it, virality, all this nonsense. Audio is still one of the most efficient and passive ways of absorbing vast amounts of information.
I couldn't disagree.
Yeah.
So what's your hope, you know, moving forward, you know, in your role as president of CRM, what do you hope to achieve?
Well, actually, at the moment...
Legacy question.
There's so much more. There's so much more to achieve. But I think currently, right now, because You know, you'd be surprised. We're such a small country. Yes, we may have 30 million people right now, but geographically, we're not very big. Having over 40 radio stations is actually a very good thing, but it also means a very bad thing for FM bandwidth because we're now being squeezed. You know, there's a long line of companies and people who actually are applying for radio licenses. There's simply no more frequencies to
give out. I might know of one that's actually trying to apply for another frequency, but it's just no luck thus far.
No luck.
I've heard of four, actually.
Oh, is that right? Yes. Ah, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Kusya, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting and for allowing CRM, Commercial Radio Malaysia, you know, to be featured as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you missed any part of this program, you can download the podcast at www.bfm.my. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.